Yeah, that's recording. Okay. So we've been talking about how betochen applies to things that are essential for a person to get through this world. Yeah. So I got food and clothing and warmth and a roof over your head, all the essential things that a person needs. We spoke about health. So that is category one. The second category that we're going to deal with, that we started dealing with, is additional income. Additional income is things that he doesn't really need in order to survive. But this is additional stuff that he has above the bare minimum that a person needs to live on. And we started speaking about the correct, how do you apply the correct approach a person has to have in the tochen to these areas. She's asik b'mash yizmin la'avoira, ma'am. Person should do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has prepared for him, the shtadlus, the job, the work that Hashem has provided for him. L'tzorich sipuk ha'mezoina, in order to provide him his sustenance and his food, that was category one. U'lagel ma sheyesh bo dai min ha'olam. That's for that. Aval, he shouldn't do any more work. Remember we said that he should get more. V'im goyze, v'im yigzoy. If Hashem decided that he's going to get more than the bare minimum, what he needs, so then Hashem will give him even without making enough tircha. So that's a very difficult cheshbon practically. How does a person know what his minimum is? It's not just, it's not like, used to be a time where it was obvious what your minimum was. Today, it's bichlal not obvious. It's a very complicated, I don't have to tell you, you know yourself. It's a very complicated cheshbon to know what the minimum is. You know, we have very high level of standard of living. And that could be what a person's minimum is. But anyway, whatever it is, a person has to make a cheshbon what his minimum is. And for that, he has to make ishtadlus. And then he has to not make ishtadlus for all the extras. And if there's a gezeira, then he'll get it without ishtadlus. And if there's no gezeira that he can get it, he won't get it. That's what we spoke about.
And so I just ask, is there a way? Could you say there might be I know you are saying it on a more subjective level, depending upon person by person. But even today, in the complex world that we live in today, let's say you could maybe say there's an objective level in terms of when you say what you need. In other words, you can work out like what is a normal thing in terms of needs. Needs, if you were very objective, you could say you need a bed to sleep on, or even a roof to sleep under, and something to eat objectively, to be able to survive physically, to eat, to drink, and a small space to sleep. Like if you went to the bare minimum, but then obviously that's not normal. So you get to like a certain objective normal. You need to pay school fees. You need to pay rent. You need a space for each person in the family. You need food. You need the basics that is basic in the society that you live in. I'm not talking about like if you're wealthy, if you're less wealthy. I'm talking about what's a basic minimum in terms of absolute, you know, tzricha, what's called a need. Even for a wealthy person, those needs should be objective on a normal level of society. Okay, so he's rich, so he's wealthy, so he can have more, but that's already into luxury. Well, in the world of past the ishtadlus world.
Okay, school fees, we'll see. School fees could come under the category of mitzvah. I don't know, we'll have to see.
I mean,
It's hard for me to say that it's objective. Very hard for me to say that it's objective. There's some people that are very happy and big bali simcha and function and can get by on very little. There are other people that if they had to live at that minimum, they would be miserable. Hilchos Stoker tells you that it's very subjective. Mm-hmm. The Lachos of Stoker tell you that you have to give a person who had money and now he's lost money what he was accustomed to. The tzibur is machayev.
And then give him teach back, him to. Yeah, but then teach him.
You have to teach him. The Yochas Taka is to give him what he was used to give him the standard of living that he was used to.
And then teach him afterwards to live less.
I don't know. I don't know if I have to teach him anything. Where do you see that? You have him a call for that?
I heard that. Then you try and train him to listen, because otherwise it's a tircha on the kehillah.
It's a burden on the tibur. Okay, yeah. Okay, that's another thing. Okay, but I'm just saying, you see, be'etzem, the Torah says that it's subjective. That's mamash, that's his life. If a person, you would ask the person to drive a Lexus when he's used to driving a Rolls Royce, so that would be mamash, he could get depressed from that.
Yeah.
I think it's very subjective. I'll tell you why I think it's subjective, is because the whole your sort of how much ishtadlis a person has to make is very subjective as well. We're not discussing ishtadlis here. We're discussing a person's approach to betochen. That's very different to ishtadlis, but you'll see that the ishtadlis is a very subjective thing. So how much a person needs to live on comfortably so that he's besimcha, that he can function, that he can have a nachas ruach and function properly, it could be very subjective. I might need one ice cream. You might need two ice creams. It's an objective standard. There is a societal sort of standard that you live in a certain society and people in that society live in a certain way. It might be an indication, but I don't think that's a fixed and fast rule.
Uh-huh.
Not different. Yeah. You know, I'll tell you where it also gets complicated is you might be very happy to live, you know, like the Mishnah there says, pas b'melach, v'mayim b'mishmo, sleep on the floor, v'chaim tzachayim, you could be a big bal simcha living like that. And your wife might not be able to deal with that.
Right.
She might need a lot more fancy and a lot more that. And we're going to deal with that now. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
All the riches here, there's an interesting tshuva from a Moshe about wives. Seems to be chaylek with the chayvus lavavus. We'll see. And also the shtadlis, where exactly, you know, air conditioning, for example. Air conditioning today, that's, I don't see how you can call it a luxury. You know what I'm saying? Air conditioning today in the summer in Eretz Yisrael is not a luxury. But it could be that in another place, you live in Svat, for example, could be air conditioner, there is a luxury. Heating there might not be a luxury, but it depends what you're used to. You know, some people don't feel the heat so much. Other people, some people need more to eat. Some people need less to eat. People, it's very subjective. And as I said, it's much more complicated because life is much more complicated. People used to live very simple lives. You know, today we are very, very, for some families, maybe going to a restaurant once a week might not be considered a luxury. You tell them, no, I'm sorry, you can't go to a restaurant once a week. You know, you go once every week, go for your anniversary. That's it. Tell you, what are you talking about? I come from New York, you know, whoever ate at home.
Right.
They don't understand what eating at home means. They don't understand why you have to kasher a kitchen. It's never been used. I stayed in a home in New York once. I'm telling you now, the kitchen was worth more than most people's houses here. So the kitchen alone must have been $250,000 kitchen, and it never been used. Because nobody ever cooked there. Just they were either eating out or getting takeaways. Now you got to tell a person like that. You have to have fried eggs for supper tonight. You go into the kitchen and you fry some eggs and you make toast, you know, and a cup of coffee, and even sugar. What are you talking about? I don't know what you mean. So how are you going to get objective? It's not shy. But that's a very hard thing for a person to know. Obviously, we spoke about that when we discussed Rav Dessler's approach to ishtadlis, is that a person should try and raise himself to the point where he needs less. Because you can take your betochen further when you need less. Because when you don't get it, it's not such a tragedy. If you live simple and whatever, so one day you don't get exactly what you need, you'll manage. You know what I'm saying? If you're used to living with less. If you need a lot, so then you don't get it, it could be catastrophic. So it's hard to take your betochen very far if you have a lot of needs. That's why stakput is a very important kalal tool to use when one's working on betochen. For sure, you should try and minimize. But in the objective world of how do we know that I think it's very subjective.
But then there's what you're saying is then there's the real where the person's at the moment. You can work on minimizing, but right now he's holding at a certain place in the now. I'm saying the world of now. So he has to live with what's going on now.
Yeah. The Eitzah that Ramallah gives there is the Ramallah from Gates that he says is before you bring something new into your life, think very carefully about it. Because once you brought it into your life, it's very hard to get rid of.
Hard to get rid of. Very nice.
You're thinking about whether you need this particular chavis, you need a washing machine. That's an extreme example, if they have a washing machine. But I'm just saying as an example. You know, they come with a new invention called a washing machine. So do you need a washing machine or not? So think long and hard before you bring a washing machine into your house. I'm just using as an example because today, washing machine, whether you should have two washing machines, I don't know, maybe that's the question. No, today I'm saying it's not shaykh, but you know, because once it's in your house, you can't live without it. And then now you need it. So now you just expanded your needs. So now maybe you have to make more ishtadlis. I don't know. You're trying to make less ishtadlis. We're just trying to minimize.
Nice.
Not according to the Chovas HaLevavos, but generally speaking, you see from the Silus Yesharim, you see from the general approach is always trying to minimize the ishtadlis, not trying to look to make more ishtadlis. So if you really need it, you need it. I'll give an example. Let's just take, for example, you have a certain income, you're making ishtadlis, and your teopachot, you're getting what you need to live on, yeah? You know, sometimes you're a bit short, sometimes a bit more, whatever, but your teopachot, you're coming out, right? Now you decide that it would be really nice if, let's say, you would take the kids to visit your parents for their golden anniversary. Your parents live overseas. It would be a very nice thing to do to take your kids to go overseas and to visit your parents for golden anniversary or whatever. Now you need extra income. That's extra income. That's the subject we're dealing with now. That's not life essential, but you would call that normal. I wouldn't say that's why. You must sugar. To go to your parents' golden anniversary in Chutz Laaretz to take the family, you're out of your minds, not Shaykh. So tell me you're right. But it's a big chesed to my parents, a big mitzvah of kibbutz av ha'eim, whatever. And I'd like to do that. So now you're into the second category. Do you make ishtadlis for that or not? So I would say, poshted, yeah. Maybe you have to take a gemach and then slowly pay it off. Or maybe you would have to work a few extra hours or put in a few more, you know, to try and get the extra bucks to be able to go. You know, it's very hard to know where you draw the line between. Is that called a luxury? I don't know. I think that's a, you know, you ask anybody, they would say for sure that's something you should do. You know, or I don't know. The different families have got different approaches. Your sister's making a chasana in America. Mm-hmm. So you should go to the chasana. You shouldn't go to the chasana. So you have to pay for a flight. You have to go. It costs money. That's not part of your day-to-day existence. Right. You know, you see, people do things like that. So they're more kasher to know exactly what's called extra income, not extra income.
So for some people, that might be like necessity. Therefore, it could be in the world of ishtadlis.
Correct. So another person,
or maybe it's not
outrageous kind of luxury to even think about doing such a thing. You know. So it's hard.
It wouldn't be. In that case, it wouldn't be part of ishtadlis. If it happens, it happens.
Once that's what I'm trying to say. It's very hard to know your plalim that we're learning to halacha lemaisa. They're more kasher.
I'm just saying simplifying it. If it's a person who that would be a normal thing, of course you have to go, whatever it is. So then that sounds like a necessity. So you have to put in extra shtadlis.
Correct.
But the exact same situation could be that for another person, it's like a wild thought. It's like, I would love to, but it's not even a havamina that you would even think of doing. It's not normal for the person to do that.
Hashem wants you to go. He'll give you
some. Go, you'll go. Right, yeah. You don't have to do
shtadlis. You weren't expecting whatever. We're thinking maybe we should go, maybe we shouldn't go. And then Pitoma got this, my wife got a bonus, whatever, and we decided we're going to use that to send her to the sister.
Yeah. Right.
So what I'm saying, once you have the principles, it's a bit easier, but it's still very hard to know where you exactly
are. Where you at. Right.
So, like I said, we're just trying to go through, pick up the principles, at least know that there is a subject like this, you know, at least we know now that there's a sugya, and you have to ask Charles, and you have to check it out. So that we said. Now we said, "Kasher yiftach belokim, yimotze manuchas liboy v'shal v'nafshoy." That we said is the whole. We're just summarizing here a little bit what we spoke about the last one or two sessions. So that kilo yavrenu chukav al zulosoy. He knows that he's whatever he's going to get is not going to go to somebody else. He's tranquil. He's peaceful. he knows that if the money is due to him, he'll get it. And if it's not due to him, he won't get it. And it's not going to go to somebody else by mistake. You know, the check will go to his next door neighbor instead of him. So he's worrying what will be. What comes up, it can't come any earlier. It's not going to be later. Whenever Kodesh Baruch Hu decided that he's going to get it, he's going to get it. So there he gets that benefit again of betochen, which is the menuchas liboy v'shalvas anafshe. When Kodesh Baruch Hu decides that he needs this extra money, he'll get it irrespective of whatever efforts he makes. He doesn't have to make any effort for that. And now we'll see what the person's attitude is. We'll see. So as we said, the guarantee, a person has a guarantee that whatever he needs, his basic necessities, whatever that means, that he has a guarantee that he'll get. Because Man Hashem wants him to live and survive, he'll have whatever he needs. But this extra money, it depends. No guarantees that he'll get it. And therefore, the betochen isn't that I'll get it. He doesn't have betochen that he'll get it. Betochen means that he recognizes that Hashem will send him this extra money. That's what he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. That's the betochen, but he may not get it. The first category of the betochen is, I'll get it. I don't have to worry, because for sure I'm going to get it. Unless Hashem wants me to starve to death, chas v'chalila, I'll have what to eat. I don't have to worry about what to eat. For sure I'll have what to eat. That's a guarantee, and that he has complete menuchas hanefesh, because he knows he's going to get what he's going to get. In this category, his menuchas hanefesh comes from the fact that if it goes, I'll get it. And if not, if Hashem wants me to have it, I'll have it. And if he doesn't want me to have it, I won't have it. Finished. So I'll carry on renting. He wanted to buy a house, but he needed the money to buy the house. Once again, I'm not discussing whether a house now is in the first category or the second category. I'm putting it in the second category, let's say. He's renting. Beseder, I'm not saying you should buy, you shouldn't buy. I'm getting to that. That's a hard subject. But he decided he really wants to buy. There's a good deal going, whatever. And for him, it's in the second category. Therefore, he's not going to make ishtadlis. For you, it might be in the first category and you have to make ishtadlis. I'm saying for this guy, it's in the second category. He doesn't make ishtadlis. And he's calm. Because if Hashem wants him to have this dira, Hashem will send him the money to buy the dira. And if he doesn't want to have the dira, he won't send him the money to have the dira. Masha'en kain, if it's in the first category, you'll have betochen, 100% betochen. If this is your basic necessity, you'll get it for sure. Don't have to worry about it. You have to make ishtadlis, but you can be sure that if that's what you that's a bare necessity, you'll have it for sure, no question. That's the betochen a person has to have. Okay. Then we mentioned we did the first one. I don't think we did the three big mistakes that a person makes when he gets extra wealth. He calls it the nisoin of ashiras, the nisoin of wealth. It's possible for him to earn more than what he needs for his basic sustenance. So now, why does Hashem make some people wealthy and others not? Why do some people have all this extra wealth and other people don't have it? So he says like this, Yesh, Shemani gavoyre tarpei rabim mibne adam, al yad ish echad mehem. Sometimes Hashem passes wealth, a livelihood, panosa of many people through the hand of one person. In other words, he gives one person lots of money. And then that person's responsible for taking care of a lot of people. He doesn't give 10 people $100 each. He gives $1,000 to one guy, and he has to distribute the other $100 to each of those people, the $900 to those people. Why does Hashem do that? Because he wants to test whether the person he's giving this extra money to will be trustworthy and faithful to Hashem, or whether he's going to rebel against Hashem. He says the Kodesh Baruch Hu puts you in charge of other people in the most challenging and testing ways for tempting it. Hashem mamash tests you. We saw in Perek Gimel, one of the reasons why Kodesh Baruch Hu makes a person make ishtadlis stam is he wants to test to see whether he'll make honest ishtadlis. The Nisoyin has come up in business, and will he be an honest Jew, or will he rebel against Shulchan Aruch, or will he keep Shulchan Aruch? So the same, yeah, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives a person extra money in order to use it for sustaining other people, and he wants to see how's his God, what's he going to do with all this extra money. It's a big Nisoyin, and he says, yeah, Hashem's going to give it to him in the most unbelievably difficult way. It's not going to be posh. Wealth comes with a lot of tzoros. It's not always such a posh thing. So then he says, yeah, he gives a few examples of people that fall into this situation. You have a king who's responsible for taking care of all his palmalia. He's got soldiers, he's got ministers, he's got a whole government. He has to take care of a lot of people. Then there's other people in the hierarchy. There's the ministers, there's the different royal officials, all the high-ranking officials in the government. They're surrounded by all different kinds of people. They're servants, attendants, secretaries, drivers, advisors. There's a whole around there. One politician, there's 50 people that have to be sustained, you know? And then suddenly, it's very interesting. This is, okay, we don't have time now. It's a shame. Remind me next week. We'll start with this. V'noshim v'kreivim. On a smaller scale, you find that you have a person who has a wife and he has relatives. You feel responsible for your dependents. You feel responsible for your wife and kids and whatever. So they go about trying to make money in order to support them. And they have ways of doing this in either good ways or bad ways. We'll see what he means now. So it's hard to hear what he's doing here. What he's doing, he's talking about people that have extra money, that Hashem gives them extra money in order that they should be able to take care of other people. Yeah, so he talks about a king who's got servants. He talks about other important people that have got servants and drivers and yoetzes and all sorts of different people around them, enabled to function, in order to them to function properly, they need all these people around them. And then he throws in wives and relatives. And then he says that in this whole category, kings and avodim and all these different ministers and whatever, and husbands and fathers and whatever, heads of families, they make a lot of ishtadlis in order to be able to provide. Mishtadlim bavurim lachzeh al sibas kibbutz hamomen. They make a lot of ishtadlis in order to find ways to collect money in order to provide for these people. And he says it could be good or bad. That means legal or illegal. That means good or bad means either in terms of the halacha or connects or connected the halacha. Person suddenly comes the end of the month and he can't pay salaries. He might start looking to do dodgy things. Or no, he realizes that he has to pay salaries. It's because Hashem will give him the money to pay salaries because Hashem's put him in, just 1 second. David, I'll find you when I'm finished here, okay? Beseder gomor. So that's the test. Because these people are going to have challenges now. And he's going to explain that there are three main mistakes that these people are going to make. These people that are given extra wealth in order to take care of other people, they make three fundamental errors. So Metz Hashem, I think I can carry on a little bit, but it's long. Maybe it's for a whole session on its own, these three things. Let me do them all together. And then we'll see also very, very, very fascinating sugya, yeah, which we have to look at, is are you guaranteed that you'll be able to support your wife? Very interesting. I mean, it sounds posh. Feeding your wife sounds like a basic necessity, right? That should fall under the first category of basic necessities, that you have to feed your wife. I mean, that's, you're big bal chesed because you feed your wife. No, that's a basic, you have a ksuv and you have a chiv to feed your wife. What's the question? He puts wife into the second category. So very interesting. We'll have to see that. The Moshe has a whole interesting...
The second category meaning that you have to do shtadlus.
No, I don't have to make you shtadlus.
I don't have to make you
shtadlus. That is extra income. It goes above my basic needs. He puts wife and craving into the second category.
Are there only two categories? Because I kind of...
No, there's seven. There's seven categories. We're dealing with number one and two. We're dealing with the first and second. We haven't done the others.
So the first is your absolute needs?
Yours, your personal needs, yeah.
Your personal needs, and that requires ishtadlus.
And it's guaranteed. The second one is not guaranteed. That means according to the Chovetz HaLevavos, we'll see. Ramosha's chaylek on this. But he doesn't point out that he's chaylek on it, because I don't think Ramosha would admit to being chaylek on the Chovetz HaLevavos. But we'll see. Interesting, the Tiferes Yankovi has a very interesting sugya here. Lomdish sugya. How can you not be guaranteed that you'll get what you need to support your wife? It means you have enough, but she doesn't. You guaranteed you'll have what to eat, but she's not guaranteed. But she's also guaranteed that she'll have what she has to eat. Because she's no different to you. We'll see. Very interesting if that's true.
Maybe she has to do ishtadlus.
No, we'll see. We'll see. It's a very complicated sugya. He learns that from Sukkim. Sure. A man comes into the world with everything guaranteed. A woman, not necessarily. We'll see. I'm telling you, it's all sugya. I'm not gonna learn all sugya now in one second. But we first learn the Chovetz HaLevavos. We see what he says, and then we'll see the mafoshim on that particular nakuda is a big sugya. And for example, somebody works for you, right? So for sure, Pilchus Shulchan Aruch, you have to pay him. But if he's not meant to get pay, there's no ways you'll be able to pay him. If the gzeira is on him not to be paid this month, you can turn the world upside down. You're not going to be able to pay him.
No.
Right? No. Because it's lo magia lo. You can't give somebody something that Hashem doesn't want him to get. Pashtas. I'm not going into the whole, can your bechira override Hashem's decree? Let's work with the Chovetz HaLevavos now, yeah? Pashtas, the Chovetz HaLevavos. Be Yoisa holds of that, but you'll see. So you work for me and I have to pay a salary at the end of the month. And I want to pay you and I go about whatever, but if you're not supposed to get paid, I can turn the world upside down and I'm not going to have money to pay you. Yeah? How does that stem with the Shulchan Aruch that I have a chiyuv to pay you? I said with Rob Zelig once, I was once late with paying him a salary. So I said to him, I came to apologize, I'm very sorry, whatever. He said, what's it got to do with you? Because Baruch Hu wants me to have money, I'll have money. If he doesn't want me to have money, I won't have money. I said, that's lovely, you're betochen, but there's a Shulchan Aruch, there's a chiyuv to pay you. And if not, I'm a shtickle rosha, you know? He said, that's your problem. That has nothing to do with me. I've got no kindness against you because you don't give me my salary. Hashem gives me my salary.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's another, so the same with the wife. There's a guarantee that she's going to get fed. It may not come through the husband. She may get fed from some other means or whatever. Anyway, interesting, fascinating stuff. Mirza Shema Karen, Jonathan, just let me know as soon as possible.
Yeah, look, how's it right now? I can try. It's difficult for me, 8 o'clock, even 8:30. So it's the same thing. I'll just try my best to make it. And let's see, if I can't make it, then I'll tell you and we'll go from there. But let me just try. If it works for you, let me try my best to make it.
So let's leave it at 8 o'clock your time, 9 o'clock Israel.
Yeah,
time.
9 o'clock.
We can go to 9:30. 10 is going to make it a bit difficult. 10 o'clock.
No, let's leave it what's convenient, what's normal for you, and I'll fit into that.
Okay. My Chovetz HaLevavos that I go to with the Rob, which we just started up again now since Corona, or whatever, starts at 10:30 on a Motzei Shabbos. So we only finished at 11:15, whatever. So that's I found that a bit difficult, but that the Rob won't start before 10:30. So what can I do? But for me to start at 10:30 is going to be, or 10 even, is going to be a little bit rough. So
don't worry. I like this. I love this year. I'll try my best. 8 o'clock sounds good.
Okay, good. So bear that in mind. Remember next week when you see the email going out, because I'll send out a reminder that the 9 o'clock is Israel time, okay?
I'll change the reminder.
So we'll remain at 9 o'clock Israel time, right?
Yeah, we leave it at 9 o'clock. I'll just have to see what's with Eli. I'm not sure what his story was. And Ephraim Rosen. And what's the name also told me he wanted to join Bezalel Feltiop. So I don't know. Let's see. Meantime, I'm happy to just the three of us. It works good for me. So
I'm really enjoying this. Hey, this is lots of food for thought. And very important to go through the sugya without being
pregnant. When we go through it a second time, now we're just going into the first time, whatever, and we're opening up a lot of stuff. When you go through the second time, you'll see it. It's a whole different world. Once you've seen it all the way through, then you come back and you start again, you'll see it's unbelievable. Unbelievable when you see it the second time. That's when it really starts happening.
Rav, let's pick up next week on that point of the woman. I have a lot of questions for you, and also just let's get back.
Let's first get the facts on the table before we start asking me any questions. I don't know too much. Let's see what the purpose of the question is.
Let's carry on, Nisi. Rav, I've got to run. Have a good night.
All right. Take good care, Zagazun. Take care. All the best. Shalom. We'll see you tomorrow.
All the best. Cheers.
Who's that?
This is your Sunday, the US Sunday for him.